O Lord, you are the God who does remarkable deeds, and you teach remarkable lessons. I pray that your work in us would make us remarkable. I pray for disciplined worship, the ability to see those who are overlooked, the generosity to share what we have, the compassion to reach out a helping hand, and the faith to call upon the name of the Lord. I pray that we could see Christ as your Holy One, your Righteous One, and the author of the life we really want to live. In Christ's name, amen. The girl had two life-threatening digestive disorders. She lived a very difficult little child life. She fell into a hollow tree. And then she said that suddenly she was in heaven and she saw her grandma. She said she sat on Jesus' lap and said, "Could I please stay?" And he said, "No, I have plans for you that you can't fulfill in heaven. But when you go home, you won't be sick anymore." They pulled that little girl out of that tree trunk. Not only did she not have traumatic brain injury, she didn't even have a broken bone. And the digestive disorder that she had struggled with her whole life was gone. Now, I don't know what happened. If the whole story sounds unbelievable to you, I'm not here to argue with you about that. Here's what I know. Something inexplicable happened. A little girl was sick. She had a terrible fall. She believes that she saw and spoke to Christ. And when she woke up again, she was healed. Now, that's just inexplicable. If you're the most believing Christian, it's inexplicable that why does she have to fall into a tree to get healed? I mean, come on, God. If you give the girl a freebie. If you're a helpless skeptic, the facts are still whatever happened changed her. And she was not sick anymore. If you can feel this, the mystery of this, then you'll know how the people felt in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Peter and John had a disciplined devotional life or a disciplined worship life. And it was their habit on certain days, at certain times, to make their way through the city of Jerusalem, to walk some of the same streets that they had walked with Jesus when he was alive. And just like anybody else, if you repeat something over and over again, it gets easy to stop noticing the things that are always there. We become blind to them. And like anybody who had walked these streets, he had become blind to much of what he encountered there. But on this day, he noticed a man that was easy to overlook. He was lame. And in the ancient world, if you were in any way disabled, usually you ended up a beggar. And this guy had friends who every day got him to this very same spot near the temple where he begged. And on this day, Peter saw that guy in a way he had never seen him before. If you look at your Bible, it says that he gazed intently on him. He saw this guy as a person for the first time in his life. And when he made eye contact with that lame beggar, the lame beggar seized the moment and said, "Can you help me out?" And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And then Peter stuck out his hand, took the hand of the lame man, and helped to lift him up. And when the guy got on his feet, it wasn't enough to stand there. The Bible says he began to leap. A leaping man in a crowd draws attention. And it wasn't just that he was leaping. He was shouting and praising God. You go to the mall, start leaping around and praising God, you're going to attract attention. And that's exactly what happened. He attracted attention. And those people who knew this guy were confronted with the same dilemma we feel when I tell you Annabelle's story. Something inexplicable happened. They couldn't say what happened. All they knew is this guy who had been lame begged there all the time was different. And for many of them, it was the first time in their life that they said, maybe God does things that are more remarkable than what I've thought. Church, if you read the Bible, God does remarkable things. But I don't think he does remarkable things randomly. I want to share in this context, we see God does remarkable things when, number one, we discipline ourselves through worship. God does remarkable things when I have a life that is connected to him in a worshipful way. I call this my God time. I have to have God time every day. Bible reading, prayer, humbling myself before the Lord, asking him for guidance. When we discipline ourselves to have this daily relationship with God, the odds go up that he's going to do something remarkable in our lives. When we organize our lives not to have God time, we're simply giving up on the possibility that God is going to do something remarkable through us. The second thing, God does remarkable things when we start to notice what other people are overlooking. Do you know life will keep you totally distracted if you let it? One more time. Life will keep you totally distracted if you let it. If you want God to do something remarkable in your life, you have to start paying attention to things that it's easy to overlook. Would you like God to do something remarkable in your home? Then you got to start paying attention to home. If you're ignoring home, God is not going to do anything remarkable. Church? Do you want God to do something remarkable in your kids? Start noticing your kids. Do you want God to do something remarkable at work? Start noticing God, what it gets overlooked at work. 3, God does remarkable things when we give him what we have. Listen to what Peter says. I'm sorry, dude, I'm broke. I don't have any coins in my pocket today, but what I have, I will share with you. You know what? God does remarkable things when we stop complaining about what we don't have and are generous with what we do have. Church? God does remarkable things when we're more than talk, when we're willing to reach out a helping hand. Do you see? If I want God to do something remarkable, I have to be willing to reach out a helping hand. I have to get involved. Peter didn't just smile at the guy and say, hey, I'm sorry, dude, I'll say a prayer for you. And walk by. Peter took a giant risk. He told a lame man, stop laying there and get up. And he said it in the kind of way that the guy was willing to try. I like to believe I'm a good Christian. I've never walked up to someone in a wheelchair and said, stop sitting there, get up. Just never done it. But here's Peter, willing to be part of God doing something remarkable. He sensed the grace of God. He looked at this guy and he said, get up. And it wasn't enough to say, get up. He said, let me help you up. God does remarkable things when we're helping people up. Finally, God does remarkable things when we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Do you hear me, church? When we have the faith to say, Lord, I believe you are remarkable and you do remarkable things, and I'm calling upon you in my life. I can expect God to do more than if I'm just drifting through life hoping something good happens. I don't know what happened to that little girl, but I do believe that day when she prayed that she couldn't take anymore, somehow or another, God heard that little girl's heart. He heard that prayer. He didn't hear the prayer the way she would have liked it to be heard, but he heard that prayer. And from that day on, she was never the same. Church? So now people are starting to crowd together. What's going on over here? And the bigger the crowd gets, the more people who start packing in. And pretty soon there is a very large crowd, and Peter jumps up, God bless him, he jumps up and says, don't think for one moment that John and I did this. We didn't do this. Christ healed this guy. Peter missed his chance to have a religious healing show on TV that day. Get out the cameras, march people across the stage. You see, when God works in an authentic way, there doesn't have to be a show to it, church. Peter said, we didn't do this. Christ did it. And then he said, if you read on, he said, God gave Christ the ability to do this because he wants to glorify Christ. God does remarkable things in the world because he wants to glorify Christ. Church? And then Peter said, you know what? It's the very same Christ that when Pilate wanted to let him go, you denied him. The Christ that healed this guy and the Christ that God wants to glorify, you rejected before Pilate. And he was crucified and he rose from the dead. And then Peter said, and I don't think you really know who Christ is. He said, let me tell you three things about Christ. Remember when we're filled with the Holy Spirit last week, we always want to say nice things about Christ, church, remember? Well, here's Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, wanting to say something nice about Christ. And here's what he says. He is the Holy One. What did he mean? Christ is so morally perfect, he's never had one bad thought. Can you imagine that? He is an eternal being. He has been alive eternally. And in an eternity, he's never had one bad thought. Never one evil thought. That's pretty remarkable, church. We think we're doing pretty good if we get through half a day without thinking I'd like to kill you. Church? Peter said, this Christ that you rejected, you need to know he's the Holy One. His internal life is flawless. He is morally perfect. His internal life is not corrupt in any way. He is the Holy One. He doesn't have a single thought that he would be embarrassed to share with you. Church, is that remarkable? Then he said he is the Righteous One. That means everything he ever did was right. I know some of you think you've never made a mistake, but the people around you disagree with you. Church, can you imagine never making one misstep? Not for 1 hour, not for a half a day, not for a day, but for an eternity. Never one wrong move. Jesus has never done anything that he says, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Not one. He is the Righteous One. And then he said, more than being the Holy One, more than being the Righteous One, he is the author of the life that you long to live. When your longings are at their very best, Christ is the author of the life that you long for. Church? I just want to ask you directly, who is Christ to you? When you think about Jesus Christ, what do you think about? Oh, you think about the nice baby Jesus in the manger. You and Ricky Bobby. Or you think about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Wasn't it nice that he sprang for lunch that day? Or maybe you think about Jesus as the one who was forever being confronted by the Pharisees. Peter, who lived with Christ, who walked with him, who saw him day in and day out, Peter said, this is what you need to know about Christ. More than he gave the people a free lunch. More than he rode a donkey into Jerusalem and people said Hosanna to God in the highest. You need to know that in this person, Jesus Christ, is absolute holiness. Absolute rightness. And he's got life figured out. And if you will put faith in him, he will help you live the life that you really long to live. Church? See, I can tell by what you think about Christ, by what you're willing to try, because you believe in Christ. Are you with me? You can give yourself a test. What you're willing to try because you believe in Christ tells you what you believe in Christ. So here's something I know. You believe enough in Jesus Christ that you want to come to church tonight and learn more about him. You see? You believe enough in Christ that you want to be here in the hope that somehow or another God will speak to you and you'll grow and you become a better Christian. You believe that much in him. Do you believe that he's the Holy One, the Righteous One, and the Author of Life so profoundly you're willing to go home today and try stuff you haven't tried before because you believe in him? Church? Are you willing to pray for a straying child like you've never prayed for them before because you believe in Christ? Are you willing to invite a friend to church not because you're sure you can say the right thing, because you're not even sure if you can, but you simply somehow or another believe that if Christ could heal a lame beggar, then somehow or another he might be able to do something good through me and I might be able to get one of God's lost kids to come home? Church? See, what I'm willing to try tells me what I believe. I'm not bungee jumping. Say whatever you want. I don't care how many times people have done it successfully. I do not believe. And I'm not jumping. I watched a show on TV. That thing broke twice. One time the guy went in the water. The other time he just barely hit some safety bag down there. I'm not doing it. I'm an unbeliever. Church. Peter is a changed man because his faith in Christ is changed. Now he's not just remembering Jesus as he walked by the Sea of Galilee. He's remembering Jesus as the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Author of Life. And because he believes that, he's trying things he would never otherwise try. And then Peter says to the crowd in verse 17, you rejected Jesus, but you did it in ignorance. You know what? God's plan is greater than your ignorance. God's plan is greater than your ignorance. Even though you did it in ignorance, it's part of his foreordained plan to save souls. And he says, God did it to offer you repentance. Listen. And he said that repentance leads to refreshing. There's going to be a time when the Author of Life fixes stuff. There's going to be a wonderful refreshing. And if you repent now, you will be part of the refreshing that's promised to come. Hey, church, life will wear you out. but Christ will refresh you. Peter said all the Old Testament prophets were leading up to this. He said, listen, he said, you love the stories about Moses. You love little baby Moses in the bulrushes. You love Moses at the burning bush. You love this image of Moses standing before Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. You celebrate the 10 plagues. You have a yearly festival for the Passover. You remember it every year. You love to think about Moses raising his rod and parting the Red Sea. And your whole religion is built on Moses going up onto the mountain and receiving the tablets of stone. You love the story of Moses. But he says, you missed the meaning. Moses was a picture of what Christ would do, say and do when he came. The life of Moses, the work of Moses, was supposed to be a giant arrow pointing to Jesus Christ. He said, you love the prophets. You love to tell about Isaiah and his wonderful vision of the awesome nature of God. You love to tell about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. You're fascinated by all these images of Ezekiel and the strange symbolism of his prophecy. It captivates your attention. But you miss that all these prophets were pointing to Jesus Christ. Church, I wonder how often we miss in our lives what God has put there to point us to Christ. Church, is it possible that some of the things in your life that you hate and you say, if God loved me, he wouldn't let this happen, God is using those very things to point you to Christ? Church, but just like the Old Testament church, you experience the experience, but you miss the meaning. I believe many things happen in our lives that are little prophetic moments where Christ, where God is saying to us, remember Christ. Remember Christ. Give Christ another chance. Trust him more. Cling to him. Yield yourself to him. But these experiences pass us by, and the thing that was supposed to point us to Christ, we missed. And we end up saying, how come I never experienced God in the world like in the Bible? If the people in the Old Testament knew us, they would say, how come I don't experience God the way the people in the New Testament do? Church, and then Peter said to the nation of Israel, and God gave you the first chance. You are the first ones who get this chance. Could I ask you, how does your ignorance of God affect you? Is it possible that if you knew God better, it would change important choices you make in your life? I'm saying today we receive the offer of the work and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Today the Holy Spirit comes to every one of us and he says, would you think about what Christ has done for you and would you think about what he's taught you? See, here's what I want to say. Whether you know it or not, you're the lame beggar in this story. I'm the lame beggar in this story. There's something broken in our lives. We're sitting beside the road. It's easy for people to look right past us. We have needs that people have no comprehension of, except Christ. And if you'll pay attention, he'll send someone like Peter to you. And you'll hear, why are you setting life out? Get up. Why are you setting it out? Get up. Why are you letting all this get by you? Get up. Christ will send someone to reach out a hand to you and says, let me help you up. Do you see? The work of Christ comes into the world today just like it did in Peter's day. And if we have an openness of heart, if we have an openness of heart, God will find a way to raise us up. Let me wrap this all up. Annabelle said to Jesus, I want to stay. I'm all in for this place. I like it. Jesus said to Annabelle, I have plans for you on earth that you cannot fulfill in heaven. That sounds to me like something Jesus would say. I'm sorry, that doesn't sound like something an elementary school girl would make up. Kind of sounds like Jesus to me. I don't know what happened, but that sounds authentic to me. You know what? God has plans for you that you can't fulfill in heaven. You hear this? Maybe it's time for some of you to be God's Peter to broken people around you. Maybe you need to start seeing broken people in a way very, very different than you've ever seen them. Ah, that's another hassle. Ah, that person is never going to be a Christian. Ah, what an annoyance that person is. Maybe, as you walk through the routine of your day, if you'd start paying attention, you would see people differently. And Christ would give you the opportunity to say to somebody, you don't have to sit there anymore. Christ has something for you. Get up. Let me give you a hand. Let me help you to connect to Christ. Church, our dear Heavenly Father, oh, how I pray that we could see Christ. Pray that we could know him well enough that we'd be willing to try things we haven't been willing to try before. We'd be willing to try being a little more loving, a little more kind, a little more gentle, a little more caring, a little more concerned, a little less selfish. Father, I pray for those who are broken and sitting and can't get up. I pray that by your grace today, you'd send someone to say to them, you don't have to sit here anymore. Get up. It's time to move forward. Father, I pray for us as a church that we could be the one who reach out a hand and says, let me help you up. Let me help you up. Let me share something of Christ that will make all the difference for you. And I pray all this would result that your eternal purpose would be worked out in the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.